إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال أبو عبد الله أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى والسمع والطاعة من أئمة وأمير المؤمنين البر والفاجر ومن ولي الخلافة واجتمع الناس عليه ورضوا به ومن عليهم بالسيف حتى صار خليفة وسمي أمير المؤمنين. أرضى الله سبحانه وتعالى. The Lord of the Universe who beseech Salat and His Salam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant everyone of us the steadfastness and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, we continue the study of the book Usul al-Sunnah, a book written by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. As we normally say, that the purpose of this book is to bring forth to the Ummah the foundations of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, decrees and actions of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Being Ahl al-Sunnah contains certain knowledge and it requires certain methodology. These foundations of Ahl al-Sunnah are the purpose of writing of this book by Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. And those of us that have been following the reading of the book from the reception, we understand that Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala in this book posted the foundation line by line, one after the other, in order to be easy for every one of us and to understand the principles of knowledge upon which the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked through. Today, inshallah, we move on to the point 31. The Sheikh said, وَالسَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ للأمير أو للأئمة وأمير المؤمنين البر والفاجر. Another foundation and the principle of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, what the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are known with, which make them to be different from Ahl al-Bid'ah, the people of innovation and self-desire, is والسمع والطاعة. The Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, men among them, women among them, the scholars among them, the students of knowledge among them, the lay Muslims among them, the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they understood and they took it as a methodology and as etiquette of relationship with who, with the people at the realm of the authority. As-sam'u wa ta'ah, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they listen and they obey lil a'imma, for the leaders, for the imam. We are saying the imam. There are two forms of imam. We have imams of the masajid. These are the people that we pray behind them in every of the Ghafri Salat. They have the control of the masajid in relation to Salat and other mosque affairs. The other form of al-imam is imam being the leader, the president, the khalifa, the ruler. These are the people at the realm of the control of the state affairs, the country affairs. So Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that every Muslim must obey the announcements of the leader. We must submit to their injunctions, to their dictation. So far, they do not call us to disbelieve in Allah. So far, they do not call us to go against the teachings of Islam. So we have to obey them. So obedience, listening and obedience to the people of the realm of the society, authority, لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and whoever that is made to be the Muslim leader. Al-Barr, whether the person is righteous, Wal-Fajr, whether the person is unrighteous. Among وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَ, whoever that is proved to be in the realm of the caliphacy, in the control of the Muslim society, Muslim affairs, referring to the leaders, people that hold the leadership and the authority of the state. وَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ وَرَضُوا بِهِ, and the people in a consensus, they agreed that he should be the leader. They agreed to him to be the leader. And I also pleased with him. وَمَنْ عَلِيهِمْ وَمَنْ عَلِيَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ وَمَنْ عَلِيَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى صَرَ خَلِيفَةً وَصُمِّيَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And also, wherever that in a wrong way, he becomes the leader of the Muslims by sword. In any form, by sword, then the Muslims will regard the person as a leader. In this point that Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala was establishing, there are lots of lessons therein for us. Number one, how do we choose the leader in Islam? Then number two, then what are the responsibilities of the Muslim after having someone to be his leader? How do we relate with our leader? Then also, what should be the responsibility of the leaders themselves to the masses? So in Islam, choosing a leader is something that has a reference even in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we have what we call ash-shurutu al-lazima, the necessary conditions to be considered for someone to be at the realm of the authority. In Islam, the woman is not choosing to be the head of the society, the head of the state. In Islam, an unrighteous person is not choosing to be. In Islam, someone that is dull, that is fool, a fool, is not choosing to be the leader of the Muslims. So it has to be someone with full wisdom and the capacity to control the affairs of the people. It has to be a man, yet it has to be a man, not a woman. Then it has to be a Muslim, because a non-Muslim is not choosing to be the head over the Muslims in the Muslim community, in the Muslim state, in the Muslim countries. Because it has to, you know, one of the responsibilities of the leaders is to take good care and do welfareism for the Muslim affairs, those that have to do with their religious life, not only the normal life, the worldly gains, the worldly, the social affairs alone. It has to do with their religious applications. So, which is not known to a Muslim, that is one. So because of that, a Muslim will be chosen as the leader of the Muslims in their countries. Then also, among the conditions is that that person must be someone that has the capacity to control politically the affairs of the people. Yes, it is not necessary that the person must be a hafiz, someone that memorizes the whole Quran, or someone that swallows more than 20 Talmud books in his stomach. No, it is not a condition. If the condition is someone that is politically sound, and we know that when you're talking of soundness to any action, it depends, it is not the soundness in terms of other affairs. Someone may be sound in Salat, and may not be sound in the political affairs. May be sound to lead the Muslims in the mosque, and may not be sound to be the leader in the state. Someone may be sound when it comes to jihad, because he has developed, he has the capacity. Yes, a sort of person may not be sound when it comes to political leadership. So it has to be someone that has the soundness in the political leadership. And there are other conditions too. So these are part of the conditions to be considered before a leader can be in Islam. That is one. But if someone, in one way or the other, does not possess the conditions, or does not possess the whole conditions, but eventually the person becomes the leader, how do we relate with him as Muslims? We relate with him as a leader, because he has become the leader. We don't try to pull he or she down. We don't try to pull the fool who has become the leader down, because the authority is in his hand. He may order the killing of the populace at the end of the day. The bloodshedding will be so much, and the destructions of the property, which you can see in many places in the world. So Islam protects the lives and the properties of the people. And to the level that if someone who is not supposed to be a leader becomes a leader, then he will be recognized as a leader. So in choosing a leader, there are conditions that we must be considered. But if someone does not fulfill the conditions, but at the end of the day, we find the person to be our leader, how do we relate with him? We relate with him as a leader in order to avoid the bloodshedding, in order to avoid the property destruction. So far, we don't have the means to unseat him. If there are means to unseat him, yes, he should be unseated. But if there are no means to do that, in order to avoid destruction that will lead to killing of many innocent souls, so Islam will prevent that. So in Islam, we are in choosing a leader, we have what we call an attensis, the not so. When a person's leader chooses someone to replace him after his death, in Islam, it is considered to be one of the ways to choose a leader, because it is part of obedience to the current leader, you have to obey. You obey him. You obey your leader. You listen to his commands. You listen to his injunctions. So far, they do not call to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go against Allah's injunction. So, tenseed is when the present leader pinpoints someone to lead the Muslim state after him, then the populace must adhere to his instruction. This is one of the ways. Another way is when the Ahl al-Shura, the members of the consultative forum in Islam, in the community, in the state, in the country, come together to prepare someone to lead. So we have that they conclude, they choose to be the leader, then that should be the leader. That should be the leader. That is one of the ways of choosing the leader in Islam. So if the members of the consultative forum, the Ahl al-Shura, come together to pick someone that, okay, since we have no leader now, then we're choosing someone to be the leader, then it is incumbent upon every Muslim in the Muslim state to give allegiance and obedience to the person appointed to be the leader. That is number two. Number three, when someone who is not fitted to be the leader, becomes the leader, either by power, by war, by this, by destruction, and so on and so forth, which Islam does not allow. Islam does not approve killing, destruction, killing the Muslims, destruction of the Muslim property, for you to become the leader. But if someone passes through the way, through the illegitimate way, unlawful way, to become the leader, and eventually he becomes the leader, then in Islam, Islam wants us to regard him as a leader, because we know the way that he gets to the place. If we don't give him the opportunity, or we see him as not being our leader, he will continue his killing. Yes, you know, he fights before getting to defeat. And you see, you don't want to recognize him to be your leader. He continues fighting you, killing many Muslims and putting others into prison, and so on and so forth. So the society will now become, will be in chaos, which Islam does not want. Islam wants a peaceful society, a society that every Muslim will lead to enjoy the little things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them, and the worldly gains, and also they will be able to be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of worship and appreciation. That's what Islam wants. Even the non-Muslims in the Muslim state, they will also enjoy the same benefit and the same welfareism given or provided by the Muslim, by Islamic government. So this is what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala is informing us in this point number 31. وَالصَّنْعُ وَالطَّعَةُ. We give obedience to whoever that has become the leader. We listen to his instruction, we listen to his command, وَالطَّعَةُ, and we obey his instructions and his command. As Muslims, the a'imma, we must obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah says, the believers, the truthful Muslims, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ, obey Allah, وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, and obey the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and you obey people at the realm of authority among you, the leaders. You can see, give your obedience to Allah, your obedience to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The obedience given to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not restricted, it's not conditioned with anything. Absolutely, we must obey Allah. Absolutely, we must obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any condition. You cannot say that, yes, I will obey Allah and the Prophet so far I have it, or as long as this is possible. If this is not possible, so what? That means you will not obey Allah and His Prophet. No. So obedience to Allah, our Creator, our Sustainer, the one that has been so due to every one of us, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted with any condition. It is absolute. The same thing, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our obedience to him is not restricted with any condition. It is absolute. But for those people, at the realms of authority, we have to obey them with a condition. And that condition is that in any time, any year, they call us to disbelieve in Allah, then we must obey them. We must not obey them. They ask us not to fast in the month of Ramadan, we must not obey them. They ask us not to observe 5 daily prayers, we cannot obey them. They ask us to abandon the Quran, to throw Quran behind ourselves, then we must not obey them. So if the so-called Khalifa encourages the Muslims to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Muslims will not obey him in that. In fact, it is left for them to leave the country, to leave the state, to leave the state of Khilafa. They can leave the place to a better place where the Islam, their religion, the practice, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that. And those who do not have the means to do that, they will remain under that unjust ruler. They will remain with Christians. Yes, they will remain with Christians under him. This is the Islamic etiquette of political system that we have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ulil amr minkum, those that took to the post of authority among you, then you should obey them. So this is one of the evidences in the Quran that calls us to obey, or that calls us to obey the people of authority, the leaders among us. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بالسمع والطاعة. عليكم بالسمع والطاعة. It said, put unto you a sam'u, you will listen to your leaders, wa'ta'a, you obey their commands. He said in one hadith, وَإِن تَعَمَّرْ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ عَبَشِي. Even if an Ethiopian slave is made to be the leader upon you, وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَطَاعَ, you still need to listen and to obey. You know, one of the conditions of choosing a leader is that such a person must be a free person. We don't choose a slave. A slave is not choosing to be the leader. For the free people, no. In Islam, it's not done like that. But if a slave in any way becomes the leader, what should the master do? Yes, they will have to recognize him as a leader. They will have to do that. They have to obey him in order to avoid the bloodshedding, chaos in the society. So far, there are no other means to unseat him peacefully. So, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بالسمع والطاعة. Obey the leader. وإن تعمر عليكم عبد أبشي. Even if the Ethiopia slave is made to be the leader upon you, you have to listen to him. In another hadith, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Ibadat ibn Samit, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Ibadat ibn Samit met him, said, Bay'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bay'ana. He took place with us. Ala sam'i wa ta'a. Ala sam'i wa ta'a. To listen to the leaders. Wa ta'a. And to obey them. Fil usr wal yusr. Fil usr. In difficult time and in time of pleasure, we have to obey. That is when we see what we want to make our life better. In terms of electricity, in terms of good or drinkable water, and so on and so forth. The good were frozen in the society, we still have to obey them. Well, also, in terms of difficulty, that we don't have all this, we still need to be patient with the leaders, we still need to obey them, we still need to obey their commands. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Well, manshatu wal makara, in terms of when we see what we want, and when whatever the leader is given us is what we detest. Yes, they collect our money, they don't give us anything, they don't pay our salaries, they still extort us, they extort our money in an unlawful way. We still need to be patient, we still need to be patient, we still need to obey them, we still need also to listen to them. This is the Islamic system of relating with the leaders in Islam. Yes, we have to obey them. If they make us to suffer, yes. If they deny us our rights. In fact, in one narration, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, some of the companions said, "What of if we have the leaders that they deny us our rights? Our rights." What did he say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If they deny you of your rights and they ask from you their rights, أَعْتُوهُمْ حَقَّهُمْ, give them their rights. وَسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّكُمْ, you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your own rights." Subhanallah. What a divine instruction is this. What a blissful system to operate between the people in the authority and the populace. You can see, many people may think that this is absurdity. This is just, or someone will say, it is a sign of laziness or cowardice there. Being coward, being, someone may even say, someone is being paid with by the government. No, that is not. We can all witness what is happening when people feel threatened by the government, when people feel cheated by the government, when people think that, yes, government is not doing the right thing, then the next thing, they try to revolt, they try to stage protest. We all witness the result of it. It does not yield anything that to add to our sufferings, to add to our hardship. Many lives are taken, many properties are destroyed. This is what we all witness. Subhanallah. So, you can see, and that is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sent him to protect the properties of the people. The answer is here. It's not far period to us. We all remember what happened during the Ansar. Many properties were destroyed, even in Lagos State alone. Let me look to talk of the whole part of the country. Then you occupy the protest of Occupy Nigeria that destroyed almost all the northern countries. Many private and government companies, buildings are destroyed. One of the biggest rice factory mills in the north were burned to ashes. Many private companies. Yes, some of them are still suffering from the outcomes of that protest. At the end of the day, you want to occupy Nigeria, you cannot occupy just the streets. You destroy many properties. This is the common sense that Islam is calling everyone of us to. Not only in Nigeria, anywhere in the world. Look at Libya. When Gaddafi was within, yes, just because he said, okay, if I die, my son should be the leader. Then the masses came up to say, no, you cannot rule us for more than 31 years. And after your death, your child will still become the president of the country. At the end of the day, they still protest. So what started to be just ordinary shouting against the government, then it became war. Subhanallah. To the level that the whole country was destroyed. The whole country was destroyed. Gaddafi was killed. Some of his children were also murdered. Many citizens were killed to a level that the NATO came in to assist the populace. And during before this incident, every citizen in Libya enjoyed the welfare of the government. Everything was in good condition. No scarcity of food, subhanallah. Everything was good. Everyone was enjoying his life. No any issue. In fact, the level that at that time, Libya could be compared with some European countries. And Libya is in Africa. In fact, it's even better than some European countries in terms of state welfareism, enjoyment in the city. So what has it become now? Nobody can travel to Libya anymore. To the level that in some places in Libya, some people sell the organs, human organs, the kidneys of others, in order for them to survive. And since that time, since 2018, Libya is still witnessing the war, the internal war, in this present time. Why? Because they could not listen to the leader. Can you see? So this is the reason why Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala said, when commenting on the hadith where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bil sabr wa tawha, listen to your leaders and you will obey them. He said that these are the two divine instructions for you to preserve your welfareism, your good state in the society, your good conditions, the two assemble, you listen. When you listen, don't say you don't want to listen. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything. Will lead to what? Will lead to chaos. Yes, will lead to family property destruction. Will lead to taking lives of many people. Then, after you listen to them, then you have to obey. Give them your obedience. You obey. When you have to not to do something, don't do it. When you have to do something, you do it. Don't be saying because no. You not obey them. Why? Because you don't have electricity. You not obey them. Why? Because they don't pay the pensioner funds. Why? Because you don't need to obey them. If you don't obey them, they will come with force. And your condition will become worse. Look at the divine instruction in Islam. So this is what Islam has when it comes to political system and the relationship between the leaders and the led. The leaders and the led, the populace, we obey them whenever they ask us to do something, except what they ask us to do that we know that it makes us to go against the relationship of law. Then we don't obey them for that. So this is the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah. Any other position aside this is the position of either Al-Khawarij. Al-Khawarij, the terrorists, which you can see in anywhere in the world today. Yet somebody would look at Saudi Arabia as a government, and the person would declare Saudi Arabia as what? As a non-Muslim country. Why? Because the president. And so the female president, the male, and should the female. Yes, Islam is not good that a man should handshake a woman, especially when he has right to marry such a woman, and there's not any legal contract between the two. So, handshaking of the opposite sex in Islam is forbidden. But even if the leader does that, we all know that what he does is wrong, but that does not take him out of the fold of Islam to the level that we even make the punishment to be on the state. We declare that government to be the kufr state, as we have some people. This is the problem that Al-Ikhwanul Muslimun, the Muslim Brotherhood, They are pounding here and there. What led to Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda. People call it Al-Qaeda. What led to Shabab? Many places like that. We have the terrorist groups that will just declare the Muslims, the Muslim leaders to be non-Muslims. In order for them to see the lives and the properties and the glories of those leaders to be lawful for them to share. But this is not Islam. Islam is far away from this. Some of them are in. What is the end result of him? Of the destructions that he engaged in many places. There are many bombings in Saudi Arabia. Ever before they started attacking the West, they've been attacking the Muslim countries. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. So we have some of them in our environment that they will say, no, don't listen to your government. You have to go out. You have to fight against. You have to fight for yourself. You have to fight against them. You have to do this. You have to do that. And when you do it, so our condition will become from bad to worse. And to work to the work. Some people take the plan occupy Nigeria. Some people plan it. What is the end? Some people plan answers. Where were they? Those lives lost then. What is the benefit? Some people plan, what do you call it? First scarcity. First subsidy. Protest. Where were they? When the then government increased the fuel just to 90 naira, how much are we buying today? So as Muslims, listen to the government, obey them, then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you, to preserve you, and to answer your calls, to grant you your request, that is it. But to join a group to wage war against the government, or to stage protests, or to do what do you call revolution? This has no basis in Islam. Those planning to do that, they have dual citizenship. They are citizens of Nigeria, and at the same time, they are citizens of maybe America or any other Western countries. So when everything becomes red, you see them, they are out of the country. So now remains you and I. So we pray for our government. We ask Allah to guide them, to guide every one of us. That's what we need to do. Yes. Everybody knows that, yes, things are not that good. Things are not that okay. But at the same time, the Bible says, cutting head is not a medicine for headache. When you behead, beheading is not head, it's not a medicine for it. When someone is complaining of headache, you ask him to behead his head. Is that solution? That is not solution. This is the example of those who are calling for revolution, who are calling for protest, who are calling for demonstrations against the government. They want to destroy the remaining things that we are enjoying, which we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make it to be successful. So what we want the government is to obey them, also to listen to them, and those of us that we are close to them, we are close to the government, anything we think that is wrong in their policy, then you can give them advice, one-on-one. When you have the chance to meet the government, yes, you talk to them. This is the decision of the people, not you coming on Mumbai on Friday, shouting with reddish eyes, charging the people against the government. This does not benefit anything. Or you going out for protest, this does not benefit anything. Or you writing on the Facebook, the social media, some will say an open letter to the government. Which government are you at? But we have some of us that we are very, very, very close to them. They have family members. They are human beings. Yes. So if you have the opportunity to meet them one-on-one, you speak the truth to them. Let them know the condition of the people. This is the only solution that Islam has offered. But for you to say, no, we have to destroy benefits, we burn this, we burn that, Islam does not call for this. So a righteous Muslim that understands his religion, Islam, you will never see him partake in any revolution, in any protest. You never see him against the government, against the Muslim rulers. You never see him. Inshallah, we continue next week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our leaders and to make things easy for them and to guide them to make policies that are beneficial to everyone of us in the country. Upon this, whatever you have as a person, as a man or as a woman, share it with those around you of what you know that you have ability to do, you have capacity for. Yes. And those some of us will be complaining. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed you with certain things. Someone that has a bag of rice will join the people in the street. This government is not better for this government. In fact, there is hunger in Nigeria. Which hunger are you complaining when you have a bag of rice? You have this, you have that, you have food. Instead of it to share of what Allah has given to you, to those, your neighborhood, you share to them. Nothing you share that is too much, that is too small. So, and that shows our appreciation to our Allah, our Creator. In fact, when you have the best government, all of us cannot become rich. There's still bound to be poor Nigerians among us. It is Allah that controls the provisions of all creatures. Allah is the sole provider of all the provisions, not government. Yes, not government. It is Allah that provides. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you, you know yourself, you know your capacity, you know your level. If you know that you have the remnant, why can't you share with those who do not have? You don't do this. Yes, you don't do this. We try to become the monopoly of our provisions, which is not good. Allah says, spend, I will spend on you. Then some of us also we involve in extravagance. The little we have, instead of us to manage it well for our daily affairs, what do? We take many parties, birthday parties, calling those who blow the trumpets, they blow the sign, what do you call it? Baba is 59, during the birthday, spending, lavishing money, wasting property, but nothing that has no common thing. There are many people like that. There was a case of a woman. This woman, in our area, she was thrown out of where she was living because the landlord had sold the house. And the tenant could not leave the place, claiming that they do not have the money to rent another place. It was this woman that left the house, that left the place late, after everybody had left. The woman still remained, even on the gutter. Excuse me, on the gutter. Suddenly, from this after, one of the children of the woman had walima to Quran. And the woman took clothes. He took, on the ground washer. This woman, you say you don't have the money to rent a room. So you are the one now taking party walima to Quran for your child. Holding, organizing party for walima Quran. I say you don't have money. So how is it reasonable that someone that wants to assist you will see you organizing a party, very big party, and you claim you don't have the house, you don't have the money to get a house. Subhanallah. So many of us, we we engage in extravagance, wasting of properties, and mismanagement. We don't have the priority. We don't know what is next for us to spend on. We don't spend just the way we have been cultured to spend, what we see in the society. And at the end of the day, we still blame the government. And we lack the appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge and guide every one of us, guide our leaders to the right path, and make every one of us dutiful to his intention. Inshallah, we continue next week. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.